Good afternoon, everybody. This is not the first line. There's no first slide, okay. So I'll just introduce to you a new method we propose to use for determining soil parameters. When I say we had the photograph on the first slide. I was the chubby guy on the right. In the middle, it's Gregory Komunar, applied mathematician, retired last year, who derived the analytical solution we need for this method. And Alon Gamliel, who is a programmer and programmed the inverse procedure and implemented in our DIDAS program. Okay, now the purpose is not to develop a method for characterizing the soil properties from oven dryness to full water saturation, but to refer just to typical relatively wet condition of drip irrigated soils. And towards this end, we had to derive this analytical solution and to develop an inverse procedure. And we also implemented in our program. So when I was young, not Michael, but young, I was in the TDR business. This was within a BART project together with Danny Orr and Scott Jones. Is David around? David Robinson and John Raitt, who we don't see recently. Now, in the TDR method, we deliver an electromagnetic wave. We measure the travel time of the electromagnetic wave in the soil sensor immersed in the soil back and forth. From the travel time, we determine the dielectric permittivity or the capacity. From the amplitude of the reflected wave, we determine the conductivity of the soil. Now, water flow in the soil is not the same physics, is not the same mathematics. This is wave equation, water flow is diffusion equation. But still, what I had in mind is that for irrigating properly, especially for scheduling the irrigation, we need to know the timing of the irrigation, namely how much time it will take the irrigation pools to arrive to the targeted root zone, and also at what kind of an intensity it will arrive there. So I'm going now to water flow. So if you refer to exponential, if we assume that the hydraulic conductivity of the soil is an exponential function of the pressure head, and in terms of this Kirchhoff matrix flux potential, the flow equation is linear. For steady flow, only this term, there's only one parameter, this alpha. Its reciprocal can be called the capillary length. It reflects the dominance of gravitational water over capillary forces, in driving water. It's high for sandy soil, low for clay soil. In transient flow, also the lowercase k matters. And these are the only two parameters we need for scheduling irrigation. 2 hours ago, Sarah Vero, I don't see her here, she made a statement that water retention curve is the most important property of a soil, cited others also. I'll apologize, but I'll make a statement now that at least for managing high-frequent daily irrigation, it's not that important. We also determine the saturated hydraulic conductivity, although we don't need it for decision in irrigation, it's a fundamental property of the soil. Also, because we use the tensiometers, we need this KSAT. So what we do, we generate a cyclic irrigation pulse in an on-surface emitter. What you see, this is the pulse, this is the discharge rate, you see this sine function, as function of time. And at the bottom panel, you see the response in terms of the non-dimensional matrix flux potential. The solid line refers to a surface source, as we use in the method, and the broken line to a subsurface point source in an infinitely deep soil. Now, infinite deep soil for sandy soil can be 10 on 50 centimeters, it's enough. So what you see, first you see that the amplitude of the surface source generated by the surface source is larger than that generated by the lower source. A Actually, it's double because there's total reflection. I cannot control my fingers. And what's more important, the shift in time, or the phase shift, is very close for both surface and subsurface sources, which we will make use of, because the solution for the subsurface is much more simple and more convenient for the inverse procedure. Now, more convenient is, of course, not to apply a sine function, but to just apply on-off 50% irrigation. And as you know, a square wave can be represented by a series of sine functions. So if we have a fundamental solution for a sine, it means also we have the solution for a square wave. And what you see on the top panel is the response in time of a subsurface source and at the bottom of a surface source. And what I wanted to demonstrate here is the convergence. The solid line is the solution for the periodical wetting, the new derived solution. And the dashed broken line is just wetting from a dry soil, just using the known solution of Warwick, 1972, of a point source in of the linearized equation. So what I want to emphasize is that you see that after 2-3 waves, it already converges to the periodical pattern. 2-3 waves, even if you start from a dry soil, are enough. If you start from a wetter, surely required less. For a surface source, you see at the bottom, you see that the amplitude is larger, and also that the convergence to the periodic pattern is faster. Here you see three response curves in three depths of 10, 20, and 30 centimeters, broken line for a sine, and a solid line for a square wave. So you can see as the tensiometer deepens, the amplitude, of course, reduces. You can see also the increase in the time shift. And also you can see that as you are getting away from the source, the sine and the square wave are becoming similar. Okay. Here, in the solid line refers to a lowercase k of 5 centimeters per hour, and alpha of 0.04 centimeter minus 1. So in the upper panel, you see if we keep a lowercase k constant, if we increase alpha, it increases the amplitude, and it decreases a little bit the time shift. And vice versa, if we increase alpha, it decreases the amplitude and increases the time shift. In the lower panel, we keep alpha constant, and we change lowercase k. If we increase the lowercase k, it increases the amplitude, shorten a little bit the time shift, and vice versa for decreasing the k. But what I want to show here is that it's very difficult to distinguish whether it's a change of alpha or change of k. So this is an inverse procedure of just two parameters, at the k sat as a third, and it's already problematic. So what we suggest to do is a two-step inverse procedure. The first step is based on just analytical expressions. We take the amplitude of the pressure, the maximum and minimum measured by the tensiometer. We take the time shift, just these two features. We have two transcendental equations, implicit, not that complex, from which we can determine these two parameters. After we determine these two parameters, we propose to do also a conventional least square procedure, if you want to refine. Usually I suggest people to stop at the first one because it's much more rigorous, and it cannot converge even for relatively bad data. The second one is subject to all inverse ill-posed problems. And as we said, we implemented it in our DDoS problem, can be freely downloaded from that site. So this is a description of the experimental setup. We just use a regular drip line after a 7 months long paper irrigation experiment. So we had the original spacing was 30 centimeters. We had to block the emitters in between, and we ensure the distance of at least 1.2 meters between the tensiometers, because our solution is for just a single source. And you see the measurement, I'll present you measurements made with 10 centimeters, spanning some 50 meters along, you see in this, south to north in a screenhouse in the Israeli southern Negev desert. So all we need is this emitter, irrigation computer controlled, and tensiometer. So this is an example of the measurements with periods on and off of 2 hours, 4 hours, and 8 hours. At the bottom, at the depth of 15 centimeters, and at the top of 35 centimeters. These are just regular commercial tensiometers with a poor resolution of just 5 centimeters waterhead. So you see, for example, at the depth of 35 centimeters and 2 hour period time, it's not sufficient. It's just minus, it's plus minus the resolution. Another thing you can see as we increase the period length, it's mostly the dry minimum pressure which increase becomes more negative, but the wet does not become much wetter, especially for the lower series at a depth of 15 centimeters, which you see apparently it doesn't change at all. So it does change, but it changes less than the resolution. Second thing is that as you it approaching saturation, as you approach saturation, you cannot get more wet than wet. Yes. Okay. So this is example results. The markers and the solid lines are the fitted computed lines with the determined parameters. So this is for a depth of 15 centimeters, 6 tensiometers, 2 repetitions for period lengths of 2, 4, and 8 hours. This is another example of at a depth of 35 centimeters, 4 hours and 8 hours. I'm not presenting the 2 hours because it was the resolution was not enough. Now, I didn't mention it before, but we assume that the soil is homogeneous, anisotropic, non-hysteretic, quasi-linear, which, of course, it is not. But even if it's not, I think the sort of description of this primitive model, the solid line of the data, is good enough for our purpose. Another example of 6 tensiometers, the same period of 8 hours, 3 depths of 15, 25, and 35 centimeters. Now, these are the table of the fitted parameters. So this, which is now marked red, is the first step, the analytical step. We call it the amplitude shift step. We just take the amplitude of the tensiometer reading, the time shift, and analytically determine small alpha and k. And you can see the value, and also the k-sat from if it's a tensiometer. So you can see the values determined. And this now, with in the green color, is after the fine-tuning by the Levengard-Markov method. So you see that the values didn't change much. And consequently, on the right side, you see that the reduction of the sum of square deviation also didn't decrease much. So on the left side, you see the determined values in those tensiometers, the relationship between the alpha and k-sat of the soil. You see that k-sat just within 50 meters in the screen now changed by all order of magnitude, between 0.5 to 5 centimeters per hour. The change of alpha is more narrow. The solid line is a relationship on right, an empirical relationship we determined 5 years ago to literature data and to some measurements of our own. It can be also you see that it described quite well, even there's no something magic in this relationship, but it described quite well also our measurements. It can be written in non-dimensional form in the lower left, which reads that alpha, the alpha parameter, the reciprocal of the capillary length over the square root of the soil hydraulic permeability is 60, this empirically determined universal number, divided by the capillary length of the liquid, okay? Capillary length of water is around 3 millimeters. This square root, for those who listened to Murteza's lecture this morning, the square root It's just the classical capillary scaling. And I exhausted my time?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'll just keep. You'll have to believe me that we implemented it. There are some advantages. I just mentioned two big advantages. One main advantage is that it doesn't depend on any initial conditions in the soil, the method, and it characterizes the whole soil volume in between the emitter and the tensiometer, which we recommend to just place in the center of where you think is the root zone. There are also disadvantages, but since I exhausted my time, I leave you just with the good things. Okay, thank you for your attention.